Do you believe the gospel? Well, I'm excited today. As I told you, I don't know where we're going with this sermon today. The Holy Spirit's leading us somewhere. But today I want to come to you. First of all, our title is going to be Rights, Rewards, and Entitlement. You see, we live in a society today where everybody thinks they're entitled to something. I'm entitled, but are you really? Our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18, and it says this: "What is my reward then, that when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel?" I'm going to let you take a minute and think about that. 1 Corinthians 9 and 18. You see, living in a free country has ingrained in us the idea of we have inalienable rights. We have the right to pay taxes. We have the right to fair pay for a fair day's work. We have the right to travel from state to state or internationally if you got the money. We have so many rights that we think that we are entitled to things that we are not. You, or shall I say, we all have rights. But let me ask you a question today. Would you be willing to lay down these rights if it meant the spread of the Word of God? Would you give up everything you had to spread the Word of God? Think about that for a moment. As we read in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18, we find that Paul is an excellent example of one who is willing and who did just that. You see, as a Roman citizen, he had a whole lot of rights. And as an apostle, he deserved certain things. But you know what? He laid them all down for the sake of Christ. First Corinthians 9 may seem a little strange to us. It's not just that Paul refused a salary, but also the church members were upset about it. Anybody who's worked in their life, everybody had a boss who had a boss when you refused a raise, they were upset about it. Y'all got quiet on me. Ron, you ran a couple places. Did your employees, when they refused a raise, did you get upset because they refused a raise?
They got upset because I wouldn't give it.
See, it's usually the other way around, okay? The boss is not giving the raise. But we do have times when the boss offers a raise or you offer to pay somebody to do something and they refuse to take it. You see, they do it out of love. Surely, it would be every church's dream to get the services of a pastor like Paul free of charge. Would you guys like to have a pastor like Paul?
I would.
I'd sit down and just study everything he has to offer. Free of charge. So the first thing we need to do is to understand the background to the situation in Corinth. It's very different than the way things are today. In the Greek and the Roman world, of the first century, philosophers and religious teachers could support themselves in one of four ways. First thing, the way they could support themselves is to charge fees for their services. Secondly, they could stay with well-to-do households supported by a patron. Thirdly, they could get out and beg. Okay, and fourthly, they could work for a living. You see, if we go back and look at the apostles, each one of them had a trade. Some were fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors. Oh, they could make a living, but they set that aside to go out and spread the gospel. First of all, they spent 3 years under the tutelage of Jesus himself, learning from the master. And then they went out on their own as he ascended into the heavens. But I have to tell you that working for a living was the least popular and least esteemed for these people. You see, people reasoned that anything worthwhile is worth paying for. Yes. You say, if it's free, you better look at it because it might be something wrong. But you see, the important message, and the more important the messenger, the more the pay. That's the way society tells us it has to be. So the better the message, the more the pay. I think we should say the same thing about our reasoning today. Walk with me for a moment. When I was working at AT&T, the CEO who worked there, can you say 6 months before they fired him? 6 months before they fired him, walked away with, yeah, I'm glad y'all sitting down. He walked away with over $5 million for his time and effort for 6 months worth of work. Yeah, there's something wrong with that picture. You see, the CEOs of Fortune 5 companies are paid big bucks. You don't believe me? Look at the CEO of Google, Yahoo, Facebook. But you know what? Some of them are paying their employees pretty good too. Everybody's getting paid large sums of money because of the knowledge and the skills they have, except for one group. We forget about our teachers. Our teachers, our school teachers, who are struggling, who can't find decent housing, who don't know if their next meal is going to come from, but yet we charge them to teach our young ones. Something's wrong with that picture. They should be paid among the highest. Yeah, there's a problem in this world today. You see, the followers of Jesus claim that their message is the most important message for the world to receive. A final, definitive message from God concerning his son, Jesus. And the most important custodians of this message were the apostles, those especially commissioned by Jesus to preserve and spread his teachings. The believers in Corinth knew about these apostles of Jesus and had come to visit them, and had accepted pay and perks for their services. Nothing wrong with that. Decent days pay for a decent day's work. But you see, but Paul chose not to do that. He wanted to bring the word of God free of charge. So it threw doubt into people's minds. If he's charging, his message must not be worth hearing. I want to tell you something. Some of the freest messages out there are very worth hearing. You see, they were starting to doubt whether he was really a genuine article. Was he really an apostle? And if he wasn't, then he didn't have any authority over them. Thus, they didn't need to pay any attention to what he wrote in his letters to them, let alone follow his example on issues such as eating meat, which was offered to idols. You see how we can twist things around? You see, as we walk through this message, this passage of Scripture, we find three points that Paul is highlighting for us. You see, he's 3 points: the rights, rewards, and the reason. You ready for the journey? Let's walk through the journey in chapter 9 as Paul explains about these three things. Let's first look at rights. If you're taking notes, we're going to be dealing with verses 1 through 14. Okay, talks about the rights. Before dealing with the rights of the apostle, Paul began in verse 1 and 2 by defending his credentials, arguing that he was a genuine apostle who qualified for these rights. The experience of Paul, if we look and examine the existence of the Corinthian church, proved genuine apostleship. But we have to be clear. To be an apostle, you have to have met the following criteria as taken from Acts. Y'all writing this down? Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. I'm going to put it up on the board here. You see, Acts 21. Reads this: therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So to be an apostle, you had to walk with Jesus. You had to witness his baptism, and you had to witness his resurrection. You see, Paul substantiated his apostleship with two arguments. The first, he had seen the resurrection. And secondly, the church of Corinth was his work in the Lord, a seal of his apostleship. Paul then moved to establish rights which every apostle should expect. Every apostle should expect the right to food and drink. An apostle should receive the basic necessities of hospitality and care. You see, back in those days, they didn't have Motel 6. They didn't have the Holiday Inn. They didn't have the Hilton, the Marriott, or any of those. So when the apostles traveled, they traveled and stayed in people's homes. And as they stayed in those homes, they were expecting the basic necessities. They also had the right to take a wife on his travels with him. Don't believe me? Look at verse 5. The issue here is not whether an apostle should be married or not, but that he should be allowed to take his wife on his travels, and she should receive the same hospitality as her husband. Can you imagine going somewhere to preach, taking your wife with you, and she got to sleep outside while you sleep in comfort? What do you say, Claudia? I stay home. But that's what they did. So he was explaining here that if the wife was with the apostle, she had the right to have the same necessities met. You see, here's the problem. Okay? The wife of a preacher gives up so much. Ask my wife. Many a Tuesday night she'd love to do things with me, but where am I at? Right down here with you guys. Many a Sunday mornings she'd like to go somewhere else, or just the two of us spend time together, and where were we? Ministering. Serving. She gives up a lot. Do you think she deserves the rights to have the comforts? I'm just using her for an example, but there are so many pastors with wives out there that travel with their husbands. They should have the same rights. The next thing is, they have the right to pay. Should Paul and Barnabas be the only ones who must work for a living? The answer is clearly no. Every apostle should have the right to be supported. And back this up, he gave supporting evidence of four sources. Now, I just want to let you know. I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't going to go there right now. Okay. Evidence of supporting evidence that says they have right to pay. First, it was a common practice. I'm just walking through the scripture. Listen, a soldier's paid salary for his services. The grape specialist can eat some of the grapes from the vine he tends. And the shepherd can drink some of the milk from the flock he's looking after. I'm just saying. Secondly, it's scripturally precedent. It's scripturally based. The law of Moses, given by God, says that an ox which is treading out the grain in preparation for winnowing should not be muzzled, but allowed to eat some of the grain. Reading that from Deuteronomy 25 and 4. The same way, those who work in God's service should benefit from their work. Third thing is that it was a temple practice. In every temple in the ancient world, the priests who served and offered sacrifices on behalf of the worshipers were giving some of the offering for their own use, not least in the Jewish temple. Don't believe me? Go read the book of Leviticus. It spells them out. But then if you continue to walk through, Christ commands it. Paul refers to Christ's teaching, the right to pay is legitimate. What is surprising is this. Having taken so much time to defend these rights, Paul chose not to enforce them. He refused the pay the Church of the Corinthians were offering him. Let's look at the second bullet point, which is our rewards. Rewards. Paul wasn't writing about forfeiting his right to pay in the hope that the Corinthians would take the hint and pay him. It's a privilege to preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It takes precedent over everything else. Just to be transparent, few preachers make big bucks from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, there are some out there that ride around in their personal jets and everything else, but I want to tell you that it's very few. I want to tell you one thing is not a choice, but a calling. Paul is under divine compulsion, called by God to preach the gospel of Jesus. His calling is so strong that if he were to abandon it, he would be under divine judgment. He's called to do it. He has no choice in the matter. Have you ever had such a calling on your life, called to do something, and you know if you didn't do it, something was going to go wrong? It could have been as simple as being called to be the president of the PTA or something. You were called to do something to help somebody, and you refused to do it. You see, Paul was called. But you know, here's the thing. It's not about the salary. It's about the reward. If preaching the gospel were simply a matter of career choice, then Paul should expect some reward, some pay for the job. But it's not the case for Paul. It's not the case for many preachers. You see, our reward is to preach the gospel without pay. I can tell you for me, listen, my reward is going to be on the other side. My reward is going to be on the other side. And that's what it is for many of us. You may not know how many hours is put in to prepare a sermon for somebody who's teaching to prepare a lesson. I was sitting down talking to Ron. Do you know for his Tuesday night class, he puts in about 5 hours of study time? That's just when he's sitting there. It's not when he's just thinking and trying to prepare in his head. He puts in an average of 5 hours for that lesson. But you know, his reward is going to be on the other side. Now, if any of you want to write me a check for $100 million, I'm not going to refuse it because that means there's 99 million people that I can help. Y'all really quiet today. Any of y'all got $100 million in your checking account? Listen, let's look at the third point, which is the reasons. Why do we do the things we do? The question is, why did Paul abandon his right for pay in this particular situation? Well, there were really at least two reasons for this. One, to avoid the compromise, to avoid compromising the messenger. Listen, too often when people give you something, they expect something in return. Ask our politicians. Somebody walks up and hands you a check for something. Trust me, they're going to expect something in return. The thing is that God's message should not be compromised. You've all watched the TV shows where somebody gives big chunks of money to someplace, and next thing you know, because their names aren't on a wing of a hospital, they walk in and they demand whatever.
Yeah.
Their name is on the wing of a church, and all of a sudden, you're going to preach the way I want the word preached. You see, Paul didn't want that to happen. He didn't want to compromise the word for money. You see, there is no value that you can put on the word of God. Some people try. I can tell you this, we don't have any $500 lines here, any $300 lines, any $200 lines. All I ask you to do is be truthful to who you are. Matter of fact, we leave the offering box over there, and if you put something in it, you put it in it. If you don't, you don't. God's going to provide. He's provided for 12 years for this ministry. And he's going to continue to provide for it. But then the second part of this is Paul wanted to avoid the confusing, the message. You see, as I said, there is no price to put on the word of God. We all have to think of it ourselves. What's the value? It's priceless. In Corinth, the value of the message was evaluated by how much the preacher charged to pass it on. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was a message about God's grace, his free gift of forgiveness and new life, which could not be brought or earned. It was free. You know, this is an interesting statement. God gives us about a free gift with no conditions, and we turn around and use it for our own personal gain. We take the gifts from God and charge people to hear it. God gives musicians a gift to play the keyboard, and the first thing they want to do is charge the church. The guitar player that gets things going has his hand out at the end of service. There is no price you could put on hearing God's word. It makes no sense to me how you can charge for something that's free. If I understand what is being said here, I have the right to charge you on a floating scale. The more amens I get, the higher my paycheck should be. But like Paul, I get great joy in sharing the gospel, and my reward is waiting for me in heaven. So I'm not counting up the amen so I can know how much I'm going to charge you guys at the end of the service. Look, I'm just going to close the day with this, okay? We must seek out any hindrances of the gospel being preached in and through our lives. We should freely and joyfully lay down our own rights that the gospel may be advanced. As we focus on 1 Corinthians 9, it's easy to get confused about tithing and offering. Paul seems to reject the Corinthians' desire to give him money for his ministry. However, many times throughout the scripture, Paul and other ministers do take and distribute and even live off of what is given to the Lord. The key is that when we tithe, we're not giving money to the building. We're not giving money to the preacher, to the youth pastor, but we're giving to the Lord. The Lord will do his work with or without your offering. But what a privilege it is to be part of his work. Father, we just